Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Robert Yeager and the Tau Foundation.
Faith here with your podcast, Welcome Toast. The 20-minute workout is recommended. Jog for 2 minutes, then pass out on the sidewalk for 18 minutes. Listen to our show in small bites or enjoy the whole thing.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
It's great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, inviting you to eat, drink, and be merry with us. What a show we have. We're nuts about corn on the cob. So we have great tips on corn, including one recipe we're inventing, at least by words, and then we're going to try it out. That's a corn BLT, believe it or not.
Oh,
and we're going to work bacon into something else, meaning corn and bacon pancakes. And this salmon that I keep making over and over again, it's amazing. Salmon with anchovy garlic butter. It is a knockout. And we have Blender Girl as our cookbook guest, and she's going to be talking about how to make fabulous things in the blender, including a daiquiri that I think you're going to enjoy. Okay, my treasured food buddies are here. Senior contributors Chris Prosperi and Alex Province. And Robin Doyen Aiken is our senior producer. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Let's start with the salmon, because we can't get enough salmon, it turns out. You say, I'm not going to have salmon anymore. And then the next thing you know, it's on the grill, right?
Summer. And I don't know why. I eat it all year, but in the summer, I like it more.
It's outdoors.
You're
grilling it, planking
plus,
it.
That little grill char is really makes
it's
sense.
Crispy bits on the outside, my favorite.
Mushy on the inside.
I confess, I like mine slightly overcooked.
Okay, any way you like it.
Yeah.
Okay, here is the recipe that has knocked me out. This is Melissa Clark of the New York Times. It is her salmon with anchovy garlic butter. When I tell you that if you've got someone who says, I don't like anchovies, you cannot tell what is in this. Chris, you're kind of waving your hand.
Oh, totally. When you mince it up, you can't taste it.
It melts away.
It's just flavor.
And it adds this umami kind of savoriness.
Rich.
Yeah.
Listen to how easy this is. This is on our website, foodschmooze.org. Oven is turned on, and then you just get a little bowl out, and you're mashing together with a fork butter, anchovies, garlic, salt, and pepper. Those four things with a fork and butter, bang, 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 done. Now you've got a skillet on the top of the stove, and you put a little of that anchovy butter in the skillet. Then you add your strips of fish with a little skin on there and the fillets, skin side down, and you cook them in that big saute pan for 3 minutes or so. The skin browns up, and while it's browning, you're spooning some of those pan drippings right over the top of the fish as it's cooking. Mm. And then you have a little dish full of capers. You add those into the bottom of that saute pan, and you put the whole pan. So you want an oven-ready sauté pan. Now, the whole pan goes into the oven, and then you roast it for about 8 minutes.
Easy.
Beautiful.
And then when it comes out, you've got a little anchovy butter left over to the side. You've put that in the pan again, and now you start spooning that. Yeah, Chris, spooning that right over the top of the fish.
It sort of melts
onto people's
in there.
Plates.
Yeah.
It goes, honestly,
heaven.
I just made this for a crowd. And they really liked it. I'm just not the only one who
and
likes
it's
it.
And it's those capers. It gives it that little brightness with each bite.
Squeeze a lemon at the end. Honestly, Melissa Clark is a goddess
her.
To me.
Straight out of the pan, I'd put it on one of your delicious salads. Yeah. On the arugula, let it like wilt everything
sure
down.
Sure you could.
Sometimes the simplest is the best. We were talking about that the other day. You do too much sometimes and you get too many flavors, but that just has a couple of notes and just scream summer to me.
Just wanted you to know that that's there. And now, what do you say we all turn to corn? Because we are corn crazy on here.
I love it.
It's corn time.
I always say, because it's straight carbs and butter, I'm going to go a little easy on the corn this year. Just in terms of calories, that never happens.
No.
I'm just crazy
it's
about it.
It's only a few weeks. You got through, maybe through September and it's over.
Fiber.
I think it's about 8 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. But
don't have to tell everybody. All right, it's all right. A short period of time. Indulge. Mm.
So do you think we should do, we've got an oven roasted corn idea here for you that I think is such an amazing idea. I haven't tried this yet, but I found this in a blog and everyone writing in was crazy for this, how the corn was when it came out. We're talking about 50 people who made it and said, wow, this was really good to make it this way. Now, you know how we all like to praise our colleagues who are doing just tremendous work. So special congratulations to Cooks Illustrated. They always do such great stuff. This was their tip on the easiest ever way to shuck corn. So I immediately paid attention. And they said, now this is going to sound weird, but we have found the easiest way. What you do is you briefly microwave it and then shake it. Okay. So
wait, what?
I know. So here's what you do. You cut off the stalk end of the cob. That's the one with the pointy end, you know, not the silks. So you cut that off just about, you know, past the first row of kernels.
Okay.
And then you microwave 3 or 4 ears at a time on a plate for 30, 60 seconds.
Okay, not very long, in and out.
Then you hold each, take it out, you hold each ear by the uncut silk end.
Okay.
You shake it up and down, and the cob slips through.
No way.
It works.
No way.
Yep, we do it. That's how we do it.
Really?
It's that easy?
You cut the stalk, and you just pull, you can help it and pull it, and it'll all
every
slip
piece of
right
all kernels.
That's it, all kernels.
Why don't we know this? Do you know how much pain and suffering I have?
It leaves a little silk behind, to be fair. A little bit of silk, but you just use, you know, fingers and it just wipes away.
I hate the silk, though. I like to get every little bit off.
That's what the butter, the stick of butter wipes it off.
Yeah, wipes it all off. But oh my God, that's how easy it is.
You know, what do we always do?
This is life changing.
I'm out there with a paper bag between my knees. And I'm sitting outside and I'm stripping and I'm giving, everybody's trying to take a cob so nobody has the job. Okay.
I like to sit outside and give my kids a bag to do all the shucking because then that can be their contribution to the
cookout. What if
the
you don't have
kids? That's good. That's good. Okay.
I'm out there hating it.
It's kid work.
For those
of you who do not have children. Use the microwave.
That you are using as your sous chefs. Okay, so into the microwave it goes for 30, 60 seconds. Take them out and you hold the silk end and just shake up and down and the cob slips out with a little bit of silk on it. Robin and I don't like that part, but we just brush it,
brush it off.
Done. So there you go. Probably one of the best tips of the entire summer.
I'm going to do that from now on.
Some people cook the corn in the microwave, you know, the whole time.
Yeah, you can.
I've got a pet tip. Make sure that dogs do not get into your garbage can and eat the cob from the corn. It's one of the top reasons that dogs have to go to the vets to have surgery. They'll go into the garbage and eat the cob part and it gets stuck in their stomach. So if you have pets around, keep them away from the cob, you know, your picnics and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's one more, another way of cooking corn. We know it's on the grill. You know, you can boil it in the water. Some people do it in the microwave, as we just mentioned. This is the tip that I found on a blog. This is what I was saying. All these people wrote in, and it is a simple oven roasted corn on the cob. This is from Cypher Babe, who says 4 ears of corn, let's say, and a couple tablespoons of butter. I don't know why that isn't 4 tablespoons of butter, but that's another matter. So your oven is up at 450 degrees, and you take off the husks and the silk. You know how.
Yeah.
Then you butter the corn, so you've got room temperature butter, obviously. You butter the corn and then wrap each one in foil. Place the foil on a cookie sheet so that when the butter drips out of the foil, which it always does, not going in the oven, and then you just roast it on that sheet for 20, 25 minutes. The thing that everybody answering said when they tried it, 50 people or so, they said, it's so much better than boiling in water. Yeah, it doesn't have that slight sogginess. It has that oven roasty feel.
And the butter sort of soaks in.
I think everybody,
as you are listening, please, I think we should all, in this room, we should all try this.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm sure you will as you're listening too. Give it a shot.
I still love yours from last year, and I still do it. It's from your friend, and it's that caramelized corn where you just take the corn in the pan, and that's
In the cast iron skillet.
In the cast iron skillet, and I tell tell you, it is my favorite corn recipe.
And so, Chris, say how to do it, because you cut the corn off.
Yeah, you cut the corn off the cob.
Fresh.
Yeah, fresh. Just, you don't have to do anything. Just cut it up. I put it in a bowl, and I heat up a cast iron skillet. And I put just the teeniest little butter in it. You don't even need to. I just put a little bit to just smear onto the bottom.
This is where we differ. Go ahead.
Okay. And then I just throw the corn in and just
into
on a
the really hot cast
pan.
Iron
skillet. Yeah. And then you just kind of let it move around a little bit.
Let it sit for a minute too,
shake
right?
Shake the pan.
Yeah. Shake the pan a little bit and just you start letting
Here's
it.
Here's where I start to add the butter. Yeah. Here's where now. After it's starting to get a little caramelized, now we're adding in the butter.
A little bit at a time.
This is not my recipe. No. This is the recipe of Roma Baron and Judge Emily Olshansky in New York. And that's another way to do it.
Never have leftovers. I've made this for friends, family, and I'm telling you, there's you look around
Sweet,
like, where did it all go? I did 10 years. Where did it all go?
Robin, how do you do your corn at home?
Well, we
boiling
do
water?
We do the boiling water, and then even though I love corn on the cob, really what I'm looking forward to is making corn salad later. So with all the leftovers, I have a tip from Fine Cooking. I use a bundt pan because you know how when you cut the kernels off of a cob, they kind of shoot all over the place. So I learned from Fine Cooking years ago that I should be cutting the kernels on a bundt pan and then all the kernels just shoot off into your pan.
You put the corn into the hole?
Yes.
That's another genius idea today.
Wow, that is
and it
wonderful.
Fits.
Mm-hmm. And then later I like to mix those kernels with cherry tomatoes and mint. Mint and cheese, a little feta or something, and I'm all about the corn salad.
Okay, we've got one for you then, because I wrote to Chris last night. This happens to me before the show all the time. I write these crazy things.
No, this is not crazy. This is genius.
Well, I said, let's together on the show, and I invite the two of you also, Alex and Robin, to join in this. And maybe as you're listening, you could join in this too. I want to make a BLT corn. Because corn
like
and bacon, they go, of course, it's fabulous together. Tomatoes, love it. Why not chop lettuce? So now we could do a BLT salad with corn salad.
And I've done that.
Or we could use big lettuce leaves and do the BL inside and do inside the lettuce leaf. And that would be a great with the bacon.
That's the one. Take your corn kernels, cook chopped bacon, right, and cherry tomatoes, and you put it in a bowl and you mix that up, season it with a little salt and pepper.
I think a little lime juice.
Yeah, a little lime juice or balsamic vinegar,
and
something
butter.
To give it a little zip. Yeah.
A little butter.
Yeah, sure. And then.
Oh, we haven't cooked it yet.
No,
okay,
no.
Go ahead.
No, but I wouldn't cook it. I would just leave it fresh like that. And then I love your idea of taking romaine heart leaves and making them like little boats.
Okay.
Fill the
boats. You know
boats.
What? I can't take credit for that because I saw someone doing something with corn and lettuce leaves online.
But I love that idea.
But I don't want to
take
credit for it.
No, you don't have to take credit for it, but it's
you're
a great...
inspired.
I'll eat it.
No, and then you can just like eat it like a taco.
Yeah.
Well,
do you see that? That's great.
So raw, fresh raw corn.
Sure, and people don't understand you can eat raw corn like
that. Why not?
What is to prevent us from doing the real BLT thing? And then what would we put it in? So it could be on a bun. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about chopping up iceberg lettuce, really a real serious chop, pretty fine. And then putting lots of bacon in, corn, and cherry tomatoes cut in half. Maybe
and big
a squeeze
croutons. Right? It needs croutons.
Yeah.
I think.
That's the bread.
Yeah, to like have this BLT be reimagined as a salad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you put in lime and mayo.
Yep.
Mayo.
Okay, and then mix
them.
It up, and then onto a hamburger bun, hot dog
potato
bun.
Potato roll.
Mm. I'm saying a wrap.
A wrap?
I'm
you
taking
a wrap.
Tortilla wrap,
okay.
And then you roll it all in there, and you can eat it with your hands.
Why
like
can't we
that.
Throw a lobster claw in at this
Sure,
point.
Make it a lobster BLT.
I'm saying toasted hamburger bun, little butter, toast them in a skillet or on the grill, buttery. And then
we got to write this
a lot
up.
Of bacon.
I like this.
Okay, we're gonna
really
figure
like this
out.
I sauteed in bacon fat.
And we want and we want you to make up your own recipe. Join us in fact.
Yeah. Wait, before you go, let's take the bacon, right? And chop it up and put it in the pan in the cast iron pan, cook it, render out the fat, cook it all the way, remove it, and then take our corn and caramelize it in the bacon fat. Like what you were just saying in the way we did it last year, and then throw in your chopped cherry tomatoes, mix it in with the bacon again, then throw in your lettuce and then put it on a hamburger bun with a little mayonnaise. mayonnaise and lime juice.
You know what? The lettuce could just stay whole. Why am I chopping it?
No, because I like the shredded lettuce.
Instead of mayonnaise for the white, I would use maybe heavy cream. Just to, it gives it, you know, sort of the watered down liquidy.
Like creamed corn almost.
This is Texas roots coming out.
But this is like creamed corn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tastes like sugar.
Yeah.
Salt, pepper.
Mm. All right. Well.
So many possibilities.
Hey, can I get you to join us on Facebook? Because this is what I want to know. We're getting to the time of the favorite corn stand. When I'm on the road, I love corn so much. If someone has said to me, I know a fabulous place to get corn, and I'm anywhere in that region, I will go to that corn stand. So please talk with us right now on Facebook. It's Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on Facebook.
All right.
And tell us where you go. And if you've got a special corn recipe, say it to us. Or if you've got an idea, by the way, for our BLT corn, lay it on us. Whatever way you want to participate on the corn thing.
Send us samples.
Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on Facebook. Chris, right. Where do you get your corn?
I did a side-by-side with other places because I didn't want to be one of those people that say, no, the best corn's here. I wanted to try it. So last year at the end of the season, I went and got a half dozen ears from a couple places, and I compared it with the one I always use, which is Young's Farm in Granby. We did it blind in the kitchen, and my God, everyone said, what is about this one? You know what? Mr. Young has this love for the corn that I swear translate through the ground into the corn. Yeah.
Like, and it's sweeter, crisper.
It's not just, so it was just a tad bit sweeter, just a tad bit crispier.
It's
Young's Farm in Granby, Connecticut. It's a little stand on the side of the road. He always has corn, and let me tell you, the corn is to die for.
If there is a way to eat the corn on the same day you buy it,
please
do. Yeah. Ideally, you're hoping that the farm has picked it the same day you're buying it. There is just nothing better than same-day corn. Wow. Okay.
Heaven.
So this is good. Anybody else? Robin, where do you go for your corn? Where's around supermarket?
Or? I go to Arisco's Farm in Cheshire, Connecticut.
How do you spell that?
A-R-I-S-C-O. They are right down the street from my house, and they have great corn and tomatoes, and you can't go and get one and not the other, so that's where I go for corn and tomatoes.
That sounds good.
I'm sandwiched between two amazing places, Kohl's in Madison and Jake's on the Madison-Guilford border.
I know that
and
place.
They are I grew up
I know
going
Jake's.
There.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Well, as a kid, 50-50? My mom would send me to Jake's to go, you know, he's on the side of the road, and then Kohl's always on the way home.
He's really on the side of the road.
Oh, like literally on the
no,
side
I mean,
of the
you
road.
Really take your life in your hands to go. But it is really good corn.
Yeah.
How do you decide, though? I'd hate to have two that I love, because then you're like, which one?
Wherever you're closer.
The corn changes from year to year, obviously, because of weather conditions, soil conditions, water conditions. Most weekends, I'm on the North Fork of Long Island, and there is a place called Sepp's, and I mostly go there. There's a big debate on the North Fork of Long Island.
Is there a debate or a fight?
It's a fight, actually. But who has the best corn? I like Sepp's because I like
with
sweet.
Corn?
Yeah. I like it with a lot of sugar forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. With the butter, it's just salt.
I don't know. When you were saying it, it's always different every year, I kept saying, yeah, but how come when I take that first bite like I did this year, how come I always say, oh, my God, the corn is better this year than ever?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember saying that going back 20 years. It's better this year.
I think I could eat corn every night.
All right. You think we're done with corn, but we are. There's no way we're done with corn. We have a lot of corn stuff to talk about. In fact, I'm going to tell you about corn in your pancakes coming up. All right. Right after this. More mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, and I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. We're online now at foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back.
Bye. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready.
You can sign up for our free podcast copy of the show. That's really what it is. That will arrive in your inbox every week. You just sign up once at foodschmooze.org. Schmooze like school, S-C-H, M-O-O like the cow, Z-E. You'd think that sounds crazy, but that's how everybody remembers it. S-C-H like school, M-O-O-Z-E. Foodschmooze.org. My treasured food buddies are here. Senior producer Robin Doyon Aiken, Chris Prosperi, who's chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, and wine broker Alex Province of Hartford. Okay, here we go. You can't believe what we have coming. We're going to tell you about the corn pancakes, and there's a secret ingredient in there. You just can't even imagine what that might be. And we have a special white wine to tell you about, a Sauvignon Blanc that is so fresh for the summer. We have a genius, when I say genius, idea for how to cook boiled corn for a crowd. Seriously, it's so smart, I can't even believe it. This is a tip. First, I have to tell you, I'm going to get to the pancakes in a second. Remember I said hats off to Cooks Illustrated for giving us that thing? They did this feature on corn. There were two things in that list that so knocked me out. You've heard the first one.
The microwave.
Correct. About how to 30, 60 seconds in the microwave, shake okay. the corn cup,
and
it falls
and
out.
Boom.
Okay. Here is their tip on boiled corn for a crowd.
I never thought about
that.
What
do you think they do?
Yeah,
you know, suddenly,
I'm thinking
bathtub. I'm always just
throwing.
And you're,
pushing, and you're squeezing it in there, which isn't good because the water gets cold and then it takes a long time to come up to a boil. So what do they do?
Yeah. So they themselves found this online. Somebody wanted to cook 24 ears of corn at a time.
Okay.
And
what?
So what did they do? They dragged out a large cooler.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they put 24 ears of corn in a 50-quart cooler. They poured enough boiling water over it to cover the corn by 1 inch.
They closed the lid for
45 minutes,
and
the corn was
perfect.
Done.
Stays
I'm
hot.
Sorry, but
genius.
Whoever online, whoever they're sourcing, deserves some kind of award. I don't know
two
what.
Normal-sized pots
car.
Of water, and boom, you're done. Right? You can have that on your stove. Simple.
Isn't
two regular
something?
Pots of water, and
I
you
know.
Fill the cooler because it doesn't take a
but
lot of water.
But you only have to cover by an inch because you stack them on the bottom low. Uh-huh. Is that just
you're
so smart?
Driving to a picnic.
That is.
Yeah, you take
corn
it with
in the car. You get to wherever you're going.
Well,
and
you
the
know,
ready.
You can.
Carry it carefully.
That's right. That's that's car road food.
Yeah.
You just wrap up the corn in aluminum foil and put it around the engine.
No,
then you dry.
I like this too because you don't have
corn out the tailpipe.
You don't have to take the corn out of the water. You can then open the bottom valve of your cooler
drain
the water right out of the cooler, and it's corn still hot
in fact,
in the
you
cooler.
Could just throw sticks of butter in.
Oh, that's it just sort of and you grab an end and just start. Jumping up and down with it to sort of mix it in there.
Toss
it. Little salt and pepper. And everyone has buttered corn.
Bacon.
Yeah.
A butter dispenser.
Tomatoes.
I love corn season.
All right,
can you
get
tell
serious.
We love corn
Come on,
season?
I got to straighten up.
I love butter
fly
too.
Right here. Okay, here's corn and bacon pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cruising online, as I said we do. I was cruising all over the place, and I saw a recipe someplace for... You make a regular pancake batter, however you like to make it. So we don't need to get really complicated. You don't need to write anything down. You could do this right off the top of your head. And if you get our podcast, you could listen. Or you can go into our archive and say, I want that one where they talked about how to do this. The corn and bacon pancakes. Corn and bacon.
Oh
one of the best matches
like
on the planet if you're somebody who eats meat. So you take half a cup of crumbled cooked bacon, several strips, probably about six strips, makes a half a cup. And you put in a couple cups of pancake batter and then the corn And there you go. You put in the quarter cup full into your hot buttered skillet and you make pancakes. And you've got corn and bacon inside every pancake.
Oh, I love that.
Of course you could sprinkle it on the top.
A little corn and bacon on top, too.
On top as a kind of
garnish.
Save
a little bit.
You could do that.
But you're still serving it with...
But it's really so fun. Well, now the question...
Maple syrup. Butter and maple syrup.
Well, butter for sure for me. The question is, would you put maple syrup on that?
I would.
I like it across...
Blueberry maple syrup.
Against the salt, I like it.
I'm a dragger. If I have pancakes and bacon on the same plate, I always drag my bacon over to where there's a little pool of maple syrup and sort of just give it a little dip.
Yeah.
And then I eat my bacon because I'm telling you, bacon with a teeny bit of maple syrup on it. They make maple flavored bacon. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so good. So, yeah,
sounds
I'm in
like
with
a diner.
The butter and maple syrup.
Who's the cream corn person on this show?
I'm okay with that.
Everyone's pointing at Alex.
I never say no to it.
Yeah, why would you?
It's so good, isn't it? And especially when it's a little bit tiny on the sweet side with maybe just a touch of heat in there. Oh.
Biscuit up
okay,
the
how
side.
Do you do it? How do you do it, Alex?
I don't know. I just eat it.
You just, so you go to people's houses and eat it in restaurants.
We make it at the restaurant. We just take corn and put it in a pot. Pour
a little
heavy,
milk, butter,
no, we
salt,
do,
pepper.
We do heavy cream, salt, and pepper, and just on a very medium-low simmer, just let it simmer until it thickens. And
little sugar, brown sugar?
We don't need to
heavy
because the corn
cream,
right now is so sweet.
Salt and pepper.
And that's
and
it.
With the corn kernels stripped from the cob.
Yeah, put it in a pot. Add
and
a
then
little
how
cream
much,
to cover.
A little cream
Little
to
cream,
cover?
Just lightly cover, and then you just simmer.
Lightly cover?
Yeah,
that's a lot of cream.
I know,
he's trying
but,
to make it sound
I
so
know,
small.
But it's...
Just a teeny
just
amount
a, just
of a gallon of
cream. Core pine
core. Tiny gallon.
Listen,
I
tell people this all the time when they're
little
like, wow,
itsy bitsy wait, quart of cream.
That was the best cream corn I ever had. And I say thank you, thinking to myself, I know you don't make this at home because you wouldn't put the whole corn in there.
How do you, wait a minute, though. How do you, so you let it sit and simmer.
Until it thickens.
Until it thickens, and then there's your green
That's
corn.
That's it. You're going to finish with a little butter if you want to get indulgent.
Sure.
You sure.
Pulse
it's
it
like
in the blender.
Thanksgiving
sort of
yeah,
potatoes.
You can. Yeah. I like it chunky, so I don't even pulse it. Mm. I keep it whole. But you could. You could take half of it, put it in the blender, and then dump it back, and then it gets nice and
I have an idea. Yeah. Let me just see. This is crazy. I know it's crazy, so I'm going to start with that. But is it possible to put polenta into it? And have it be almost
like
a
cereal, mm-hmm. like cream of
well,
corn.
I mean, yes, to have it be a little, what would we call it, with polenta in there?
We do this every year with grits, which is basically thicker cut polenta.
Yeah, yeah.
We make polenta, and then we throw corn
grits.
And bacon in it. And then a little butter and cheese, and we serve that with fried chicken every summer. And it's a great summer dish.
Truffle oil, maybe?
You could,
really?
But we just keep it more Southern style. Peppered gravy on top? Come
when
on, let's get more Southern. That's your food, Alex.
With the polenta, to me, that makes it breakfast food.
Oh, sure.
You know, but I will have it with fried chicken, too. I think
I'm thinking
because
you,
don't you have
chicken.
Polenta with dinner sometimes? Mm-hmm. I do.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, especially the cheddar-y grit. Mm-hmm. Grits, I love that.
I love my mashed potatoes, a little well, all the gravy, corn beside it, and mix it all together. Like,
so this would be the same thing, except minus the mashed potatoes.
So when you're at Young's Farm picking up your fresh corn, he also grinds polenta grits.
I was going to say,
right?
I have his ground, you know, polenta corn, his cornmeal, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Fresh corn.
I made
it's
amazing
kind of
cornbread with it.
Yeah, he has the Flint corn on one side and the sweet corn on the other side of the field, and he grows both. And the Flint corn he grinds for you right there
so
on the
Flint.
Spot. Flint corn, yeah, that's the southern corn they make grits with. And in Italy, it's a similar corn that they make polenta with.
Do you think corn has a flavor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, corn.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, I mean besides
sweet.
Besides its sweetness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, a lot of people would say there's a neutrality to corn. And then what, you know, other people will say it's actually the corniest corn is the corn that has little multicolored kernels in it, because
like
that is a descendant of the real corn that Native Americans ate.
And
it's the best for you health-wise.
Yeah, and Young's Farm has their polenta. It has a little bit of that red corn in it.
Mm.
And you see the little flecks when you hold up the bag in the light. You see the little flecks of red.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, it's so good.
Mm.
And when you say corn flavor, so that's where it is. So when you take the corn that he grows for the grits and the cornmeal, it's a corn that's starchy and doesn't have a lot of sugar. So when you make the polenta with it and you taste it, and we're talking like Oh my God. The other thing too is we take it and boil it in lime but and make tortillas out of it.
Oh.
That's where that corn flavor just. Oh. So you're not having any sweet because that's not a sweet corn.
But let's talk about anybody's corn. Mm-hmm. So anybody's corn, whether it's in the supermarket or from your corn stand locally. And don't forget, we're talking about this right now on Facebook. So it's Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. Those four words. Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. Go on there and tell us where you're getting your corn at your corn stand so that we can go to A, B, help
corn
the farmer. B, and sometimes the supermarket will have, you know, you hit it right and
local
they've got
corn.
Incredible corn.
Yeah.
If they've bought it locally, you kind of hope they're that smart. And then so there's that. And if you've got ideas about, you know, what you make with your corn that we might not have thought of, or you have an addition, sugar or no sugar, whatever you want to say, weigh in on the corn conversation. Faith Middleton, Food Schmooze. Okay, any corn. What do you think? Is it neutral in flavor and it's the butter and the salt?
I don't think so.
And the inherent sweetness, the way they're breeding the corn now?
Matt's grandpa, when we grill it, used to say, like, this corn's so sweet, you don't even need salt or butter. You know, they love, like those old timers, they just love it without anything.
How about you were saying, Alex, that you didn't want to have butter?
Well,
no, as much.
Be honest. You want to have butter,
lasted
but you
for an hour.
Have butter.
No, you know, it's
over it.
It's bathing suit season. I'm trying. You know, there's times when you're trying to cut back on fat, so I'm looking for alternatives other than a half a stick of butter.
Okay. No, it's a good idea.
Like
some people for health reasons also.
Olive oil, maybe.
Yeah.
So olive oil. Some people will saute a little bit of garlic in the olive oil.
Oh, that's good.
And then they've got garlic oil. And they use that on the corn. And some people love corn on the cob with garlic.
Oh, that's good.
Other people will do that Mexican thing of a slight grating of the Mexican cheese.
What is that called? I don't remember.
Queso fresco?
Queso fresco.
And what's the little spice you put on it?
Oh, tajin. Yeah, the chili pepper.
So that's a lime, dried lime
and salt
powder.
And chili.
But you could use lime zest on your corn, too, if you want to.
Squeeze a lemon or lime.
Or cayenne, little cayenne.
Yeah, these are all good ways to get flavor boosting without using butter. Yeah.
So it's butter or olive oil. There must be something else that would be good to put on.
To smear on the cob. What are we talking about? Yeah. So you got
to
tell me.
Coconut?
What are we talking about?
For people who can't have butter.
And you want to smear it on, eat a whole corn.
And we
corn
want the
cob.
Corn to be good.
Yeah.
And we want to, but it's
like
not.
Juicy and.
Yeah, and so it's not about that much fat.
Yeah.
Because now olive oil will be better for some people health-wise than butter will be.
Yeah.
So what would we do?
So what's the coconut everyone's using, the coconut oil?
Yeah, coconut oil is good. But coconut oil is high. But coconut oil is high in fat, too.
It.
So it's not really that different from butter as far as calories, right? So you got to be careful there.
Mm.
Even olive oil too much is not, right? That's still got the calories.
Can we use ghee?
That's just clarified butter. Come on. That's just
and it,
that's clarified butter. There's nothing that's just a fancy name for butter.
And it has a
beyond me.
But it has less cholesterol, right? Yes, it does. I looked it up.
Yeah.
And it also has a flavor, a strong flavor. And some people might not want that in the corn.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to butter. You know, I would say do the same thing you do with chicken and other meats when you can't have. People will go the herb route. So I would just sprinkle on either the dried or the fresh herbs on that corn on the cob to make it great. So you could do some chopped cilantro. You could do a million dried herbs.
So I think, too, though, is if you're going to do it without the butter and you're going that, then what you said earlier is so much more important about getting it fresh, making sure it was picked that day. And then, like you said, your old timers do, you don't need anything on it. Right? That's more important than when you're not putting butter and salt on it than if you're going to slather it with butter and salt. Yeah, you still want it fresh, but it's not as important if you're going to eat it plain with nothing on it. Make sure you just go and almost pick it off the off the stalks yourself.
So you know how you say grilling, Alex? That's a great idea.
That's flavor.
Caramelizes it. You know how you say, oh, no, I have to have butter or something on my corn. I'm not going to eat it plain. But what happens when you're in the refrigerator prowling around? You come upon that ear of corn that's been left over from the picnic the night before. Tell me you don't pick it up and just start chomping on it.
No,
you do, and it has no butter. There's nothing on it.
Or like
it
Robin said, when
good.
She takes it off the cob and makes salads with it, you're
that's
not mixing
do.
Butter with it. You're just chopping it up and putting on a salad.
All right. We have a wine to tell you about. I want to talk about corn forever because we could come up with 50 more recipes. But
easy.
We're going to keep talking with you on Facebook, too, at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. at Facebook. Okay, we've got a wine discovery, and this is a very good Sauvignon Blanc for about $14 a bottle. Alex, go ahead. You tell us, because it's your discovery.
This is going to be my corn wine.
It would be really good with buttered corn.
You know, we're always saying French wines are so hard to read. Mm-hmm. Finally, one that's easy to read. So it's Chateau Simon. That's the producer. And
it looks like Simon, people.
Yeah.
Chateau Simon. Simon. Okay, go ahead.
So it has a little chateau on the label, and it says Bordeaux, but finally they say Sauvignon Blanc. So
finally.
They tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. And so Bordeaux is just a little region on the other side of the Pyrenees from Spain, and it's 100% Sauvignon Blanc, no oak, so it's crisp and clean and citrusy, and we're talking about corn, so all I'm thinking, this is like picnic wine. You'd have it in a bucket of ice.
Oh, yum.
Oh, yeah.
Clean all the butter out of your mouth.
Sometimes Sauvignon Blanc can be too heavy on the grapefruit flavor, at least for me. They can go too far, like putting too much oak or too much butter flavor in the wine.
Yeah.
So you want a little tiny bit of balance so you're not hit over the head with a baseball bat. So this is that. This has that just a beautiful, gentle grapefruity thing going on.
If you're worried about sugar, it's a Bordeaux sec. That means there's no sugar in the wine. They allow the yeast to eat every single gram of sugar that's in there. So you end up with a wine. If you like dry wine, that is bone dry. Technically, there's zero sugar in here. So you're just tasting the minerals and smelling the aromas of grapefruit.
Good.
And
around 14?
Yeah.
Okay, and we have it at the website. It is foodschmooze.org. We see a picture of the label, the cost, and what you say at your wine store. We always say call ahead. Wine stores can't stock everything, but they should be able to get it. It's a good wine store, I mean, large enough. But even your small places, within 24 hours, they should have it to you if you don't call it late at night. So I really like this. Would you drink this with corn on the cob, seriously, with the butter?
Yeah.
What's the play there?
Well, so because it's so crisp and clean, butter, you know, is fun to eat, but coats your mouth. So you have all this fat in your mouth. And then you need a wine that's clean and crisp because as you take a sip, it's citrusy. So it washes out the fat and then makes you want another bite of corn with butter on it.
Also, I would have shellfish with this in about five seconds.
Yeah. You know, oysters. I would turn this into sangria.
I would really, this is just sitting out on the patio wine too.
The grilled salmon we were talking about
step.
Before.
It's summer wine.
Yeah.
It's just no oak, so it's fresh and refreshing. And
we've got Blender Girl coming up, I'm telling
you.
She's coming. She's our next guest. You're going to hear this. And we've got a gazpacho that is just terrific. And we just ate it. And there's a daiquiri that she makes in the blender and this minty pea concoction that's like a soup that is just terrific. Lots and lots of things in her cookbook. We love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers. For our podcast, sign up once at foodschmooze.org. And don't forget, we're talking corn right now on Facebook at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
My baby in a bottle of wine, Joe. My baby in a bottle of wine. Shucking the corn. Shucking the corn, you've been down nothing since the day you were born. You just lay around the shade all day, shucking the corn. Talking down your fellow man, ain't no way to fill your frying pan. You ought to shut your mouth, son, instead of shucking the corn.
Let me be your blender, baby. Don't you know I can whip, chop, and puree? Won't you let me be your blender, baby? Honey, I can whip, chop, and puree. I'm gonna whip you to a jelly, honey. I'm gonna chop it up today.
This is the Food Schmooze Party, offering the richness of life and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York. New York, including Westchester County, the east end of Long Island, that means the Hamptons, the North Fork. The senior producer is Robin Doyon Aiken. And to hear the show on WNPR, it airs Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. Podcasts and our curated recommendations are always online at foodschmooze.org. We're going to talk now with somebody, as promised, that we refer to as Blender Girl. She has done this cookbook called The Perfect Blend, and these are 100 blender recipes. And they're meant to energize, to revitalize, and we're talking about Tess Masters. We're going to say hi to her in just one second. These end up being, just by the nature of what goes in a blender, gluten-free and vegan. Chris, you made, and all the recipes we're talking about are at our website, thanks to the generosity of Tess, pineapple cucumber gazpacho, which is, would be great on something, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought like swordfish. Oh, I was thinking shrimp, salmon. Yeah.
I said pork chop, I
pork
think.
Pork chop, sure.
On the grill, maybe? Yeah. All right. So pineapple cucumber gazpacho, fresh pineapple diced, lime zest, lime juice, minced jalapeno, diced cucumber, chopped cilantro, chopped green onions, extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper, and you could add other things if you wanted. Yeah. How did it come together? Yeah.
So you chop up the pineapple. You reserve a little bit because you're going to add that to it later. So you leave a couple cups to the side, and you throw the pineapple into the blender with the zest from the lime juice, and the jalapeno. Zap that, puree it. It becomes this, I called it liquid gold because it has this amazing color and the aroma.
A little chunky.
No, it purees super smooth.
But I had some chunks that I love.
See, now the chunks are coming next.
Okay.
Okay, so you got that in the blender. Then in a bowl or a container, you take your chopped up cucumber, your cilantro, your green onion, a little bit of the olive oil. You mix that up and then you pour the first part, the blender, into it and mix that up. Oh. And if you're using the turmeric and the ginger, you can put that in the blender first ingredients.
Those are sort of boosts. Flavor boosters.
And
I
did use them because I thought the ginger they and the turmeric good for you and it adds a little zip.
Oh,
and
color.
That's it,
we've
right?
We've got to
talk just
to
with
Tess.
Salt done.
Tess Masters. Blender Girl. Official welcome to the Food Schmooze Party.
Thank you for having me.
You're originally from Australia?
Yes, from Melbourne.
Oh, yeah, beautiful spot. Okay, so have we pretty much covered this gazpacho? Can you think of other ways that we could use this besides on pork chop, on shrimp, on swordfish?
Yeah, it's so funny because I get those emails constantly from people saying that they used it in all kinds of other ways. I mean, there are even people that drained off the liquid and put it on toast.
Nice. And,
you know?
Pizza.
So there's lots of different ways that you can use it. I mean, I just think it's really refreshing. There was a recipe in my first book that was a smoothie, and it turned out to be one of the most popular smoothies in the book. And so I thought, you know what? We've got to, like, people kept asking, you know, I really just want to eat that in the chunky form. I love gazpachos because they're full, they're fresh, they're really refreshing in the summer, and they're just really dimensional in flavor.
It's true. At this time of year, you really start to want this. I like bright food all year long, but in the summer, of course. Let me move to now, this is also at foodschmooze.org, where there is information all about Tess and this book. If you are interested in more of her recipes, this is an avocado daiquiri. This is such a good idea, Tess. Go ahead.
Because all the recipes in this book are tagged to specific health goals, daiquiris are often completely full of sugar. This also has sweetener, but I decided to make a low-carb version of a daiquiri. So, you know, a traditional daiquiri is lime juice and
a lot of sugar
and so forth. Typically, when you order fruit daiquiris, you know, obviously banana daiquiris were hugely popular, you know, in the 70s and the 80s. People do strawberry daiquiris and pineapple daiquiris. So I just wanted to do something, use a fruit that was lower in sugar. So I decided to use avocado. So it adds, a slight creaminess to it, which is really beautiful, but you've still got the zestiness from the lime zest. So, you know, I just started with coconut water just to give it, you know, a bit more of an energy-boosting quality, and it's a slight sweetness as well. So I just
added
1.5 cups of raw coconut water, lime zest, fresh lime juice, light rum, half a medium avocado. If you add any more avocado, it gets too thick. It's more like a smoothie. A half a medium banana, which again adds a little bit of sweetness. Cointreau, a coconut nectar or pure maple syrup. So I'm using the banana, the coconut water, to add the sweetness instead of needing to add so much sweetener.
I like this approach.
Yeah. And then you just add your ice cubes, a cup of ice cubes, and then I'm garnishing it with some very, very thin lime slices. So you literally just throw everything in the blender except the lime slices. Every recipe in the book has three optional boosters. So if you're adding the boosters, you would throw in your teaspoon of wheatgrass powder, which you can't even taste, but it just adds, a lot of chlorophyll to nutrition. You could also add spirulina. Now, most people hate those green powders, but put them in a cocktail and you can't even eat them.
I love you.
You could also add a pinch of cayenne pepper, because often when I'm doing zesty and sweet, I like to have a cutter, particularly with chocolate and things like that. But I think with zesty fruits, cutters are really great. And the cayenne pepper stimulates the lymphatic system. It's great for detox. It was really a bit of fun as well.
So I like these cocktails that are kind of fruit or vegetable based, because when there's not as much sugar, you tend to feel sick the next day in some way. I think there's less inflammation. Do you think so?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've got alcohol in this recipe, so alcohol is an inflammatory food. But yes, as a general rule, when you're eating, low-carb, non-starchy vegetables, leafy greens and so forth, these are fantastic alkaline-forming, prebiotic, promoting foods. They're anti-inflammatory. They're full of antioxidants. Yes, so you do feel lighter. It's also easier on the digestive system. Because they're full of, particularly avocados, they're full of glutathione and other antioxidants. They're really great for your health.
Let's move on to the third recipe that we have on the site from you. The book is Tess Masters. We call her Blender Girl. And her cookbook is called The Perfect Blend, as you'll see at foodschmooze.org. These blender recipes end up being gluten-free and vegan. They're about 100 recipes, and a key to what Tess believes will be ingredients that are energizing, revitalizing. Always, when you say things like that, there's a huge debate that starts. But I'm also talking about things that you wouldn't imagine coming out of a blender. I'm talking about a lasagna, a sweet potato and cashew dip, aromatic arugula, a cheesy zucchini chip thing. There's a red basil balsamic blast that you could use as a dip for vegetables. On and on it goes. So the one I want to talk about and that we have on the site, minty peas, please. So olive oil, yellow onion, cauliflower, vegetable broth, iceberg lettuce that's chopped, green peas, frozen and then thawed, salt, mint leaves, and pepper. Okay, go ahead. Lay it on me.
Mint and peas is just a classic combination that always pleases people. And it's delicious. And I mean, I think that this is a really fantastic hot or cold soup. So I wanted to include it, not only because it is really, really easy to throw together. You literally just saute the onion with some salt just for 5 minutes until it's soft and translucent. You add the cauliflower and the broth. You bring it all to a boil. And then you simmer it for about 10 minutes just until the cauliflower is tender. Then you add your lettuce and your peas, a little bit more salt, and just simmer for just a couple of minutes because we want it to be beautiful and vibrant green. Mm. And peas just really don't need very much cooking at all. Throw it in your blender, blend it up, and then you can choose to garnish it with a little bit of mint, a tiny bit of parsley, a little spritz of lemon juice. And you could put some sour cream on top. It's just a beautiful soup that you could serve at a summer party in little shot glasses. If you want to do an appetizer, you could serve it, as a starter. Or you could have it as a main and serve it with some crusty bread or a grain ball or something.
And so, I just want to say to you that in terms of ingredients in these recipes, you're going to see that there's a lot of flavor power packed into these blender recipes. And I think that's what makes this work, because sometimes if you believe in this, these more healthful ingredients are just kind of left sitting there and they're terrible tasting. This has got a lot of stuff wrapped around them. And
yeah,
so
look,
it's good.
I think that's really important for me, because I think in a way, healthy food has to taste better than so-called, in inverted commas, unhealthy food. Because if the food isn't full in flavor, it's not absolutely beautiful, we're going to grab for those French fries. We're going to grab for the donuts. Things that, let's be honest, taste amazing, but they're empty calories. So when I'm creating recipes, they have to satisfy three basic criteria. They have to look gorgeous, because we take the first bite with our eyes with anything in life, but particularly with food. It has to look beautiful, vibrant, exciting. It has to be functional, so it needs to be nutrient dense, full of great ingredients, but it has to be mind-blowingly delicious. And I think you're right, when you read a recipe, you can put the flavors together in your mind, and for me, it has to taste incredible, or I just can't put it in my books, because I want people to get excited about eating healthier food.
Thank you so much for being on the Food Schmooze.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Tess Masters, author of The Perfect Blend. You'll find information about it at our website and the three recipes we discussed on the site also, foodschmooze.org. We're on WNPR Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. We have a podcast archive. And weekdays, listen for my 60-second Food Schmoozes. Never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.
Thanks for listening to the podcast on your schedule. And when you need a little party in your life, we're here and online all the time at foodschmooze.org, and of course also on Facebook at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze.